All right, guys, welcome to episode 3, RX Radio, Movement Prescribed. With me, as always, burrito aficionado.
That's right.
CrossFit and burrito aficionado, Dr. Jordan Junta, DC. Say hi, Jordan.
Hello, Jordan.
Good. All right.
Yes.
Okay, so today we're going to take a little bit of a different approach. We're going to go over sort of our contrasting styles of training. So more or less, we're going to go over the good, the bad, and the business between CrossFit and powerlifting. So Jordan and myself are a bit of an interesting couple. We're like the Capulets and the Montagues, if you have a, you know, Shakespearean classical education. So two circles that seem to oppose each other in training styles and methodologies. But we've come to sort of found respect in either one of our disciplines as they often cross paths. So we're going to sort of take a little more narrowed approach or pigeonholed approach at our two disciplines, our CrossFit and powerlifting, as far as it concerns sort of what we think's good, what we think's bad, or maybe what we can improve on, and maybe the business side of things to close it off. So I'm gonna first put it on to Jordan.
Yes.
What would you say, and I'm sure there's numerous good things you could say about CrossFit, but from your experience, what is the best part about CrossFit?
The best part about CrossFit that I witness every single day is taking people from one area in their fitness to another, basically is making them healthier. I see it every single day. I've seen people that have used CrossFit as, you know, their mode of exercise and have lost over 100 pounds. I've seen people that, you know, we'll say in quote marks, those skinny fat people that, you know, they're not fat, but they're just soft, right? You haven't done anything since maybe high school, college, sports, intramural sports, but it takes them from an unhealthy, sedentary place to coming in an hour a day, moving with some intensity, some intent, and, you know, maybe they lose a couple pounds, put on a little bit of muscle, but overall the end result is health.
Okay, I mean, I before the episode, we promised we wouldn't rant on this, but that was kind of lame. That was kind of lame.
All right.
It was a little bit. So what? Yeah. What gets your like motor running? Like that's good from like a sales pitchy Glassman kind of thing about CrossFit. But right. Give me something a little bit more like for you in your life. What's the best thing about CrossFit? Whether it be, you know, because you're not worried about like expanding your fitness bubble so you can play with your kids. You don't want kids. We don't want you to have kids. So what's kind of maybe a little bit more raw feed on that? Like what's the good of CrossFit in Dr. Jordan Junta DC's yes. life?
For me personally, there's a couple things that are really awesome about CrossFit. One of them is definitely the community, another kind of generic answer,
yeah.
But there's some great
people that
I've met through CrossFit, not only in my gym, but throughout, you know, different states, different areas. I've met some really awesome people, and the thing we have in common is CrossFit, which kind of, you know, that can give you a bond in itself.
Okay.
You know, everyone's kind of suffering together. We come out stronger for it, sort of thing. But for me personally, the things I love about it, it's almost therapeutic.
Sure.
When I'm in a workout, you know, whether it's a 5-minute workout, 2-minute workout, 10-minute, 20-minute, even 45-minute workout, it doesn't matter. The only thing on my mind is that next rep, the movement I'm doing right now, that next movement. I get to kind of forget whatever else is going on in my life, you know, whatever stressing me out, whatever, you know, I have to do with work, personal life, all that stuff. It just goes away for that time that I'm doing CrossFit, that I'm in that workout, and all there is, you know, me and that barbell or me and that pull-up bar, whatever it is, I get to focus on that and nothing else. So it's a good outlet for stress. And it's also a good competitive outlet for me. I'm more in the competitive side of CrossFit. And, I mean, I'll be honest. I fucking like winning.
There you go. Thank you. Jesus. We had, like, an after-school special there for a second.
Just to pull
that one. Who the hell was I talking to? He's in, like, this subdued state eating his burritos and berry medley over there. So, okay, yeah. He likes to fucking win.
I like to win. I like to train hard with a goal in mind.
Okay.
And I like to accomplish that goal.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, for me, that specific goal is I train all year for the CrossFit Open and CrossFit Regionals, and I try to do as well as I can at that.
Kick-ass, take names.
Kick-ass, take names.
All right, I like it. I can get on board with that. Cool.
Yeah, so that's they're the thing, some of the things that I love about CrossFit. Of course, there's more, but let's turn it back to you. You're a very competitive powerlifter. Tell me about the good in powerlifting that you see.
It's almost the opposite. It's almost like a personality type thing where it's like, you know, you talk about community and there is that. I mean, you know, I've been able to meet some pretty cool people. You know, we don't have ESPN, right? Like, you're not going to turn on SportsCenter and see us. You're going to go on your Instagram, you're going to go on your Facebook, and that's where you see some of the craziest feats of strength in the world, right? Like, guy squatted, you know, 1,000+ pounds. Ray Williams squatted 1,000+ pounds. I didn't see it on a single, you know, TSN. A guy who's 10 foot 11, some starting center, dunks a basketball, he makes the highlight reel. Some guy sits down and stands up with a grand on his back and no one cares. So the online community is cool, but I from a personal training, like a training standpoint of my own training philosophy, the individuality of it, like coming from a team sport background, which I think is interesting because you came from, I mean, at the end of the day, they're both individual sports, but within the workout itself, it's not as such a defined road. Like, we have squat, bench, and deadlift, but the sport is really played out in the gym, right? Mm-hmm. It's when you get to the platform, everyone gets to sort of express the manifestations of their particular training style and how effective it's been for them, which is essentially the bottom line, right? So I like the fact, I mean, same core principles as you, is like, in the gym, headphones on, and I get a little 2-hour vacation every day, you know? That for me is, you know, I think episode one, I talked about how, like, I was working out to not commit felonies. Like, I think that's still kind of the case where it's, I mean, it's a good outlet. But I like the, almost like the lone wolf mentality of powerlifting. I mean, the amount.
It's all on you, right?
Yeah, that's it.
You do it or you don't.
And it's the amount of focus and like technique that you need to be able to sort of exact when you're lifting, when the loads get really heavy, is it's really different than a lot of other sports. I mean, you can be like a good basketball player without really having a physical like acumen for it. Like, you can have the genetics to be tall or whatever, but you can get by on skill set, where the skill set is sort of overstated in powerlifting, like how much technique matters, like just from like a physics standpoint. Like, you know, you miss groove a rep at a high enough percentage, you're punching your ticket to Snap City, man. Like, so you're really, I mean, you're playing on the edge, which is kind of like, it's kind of an exciting thing to do, especially like when you overcome it. But yeah, that's for me, is just like lone wolf mentality in the gym, headphones on, you're the only one on the platform, all eyes on you, let's see what you got. It's kind of like a primal sort of display, but yeah, that would be it for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so now the bad.
Yes.
Now, I feel like we could both kind of go, we could go at each other a little bit here, and this, like, in these conversations with someone on either end of the spectrum, a CrossFitter and a powerlifter, I think that's usually what happens.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm going to let you take the reins, because you're self-aware of the problems, as I am self-aware of the problems within powerlifting. So yeah, what would be the bad of CrossFit?
Right. And there's a couple different things that really come to mind when I think of the bad of CrossFit. A lot of it is, it has to do with stereotypes, of course. There are those people you see, you know, those fail videos you'll see on YouTube, all that stuff, that get a lot of heat. But the true bad of CrossFit, I think, comes with a couple things. It has to do with two people. It has to do with the athlete. Yes.
Oh, I thought we were going to drop names. Damn it.
No. I mean, this could be you. I could be talking about you. If you're listening to this, I am talking to you.
Oh, I thought you were talking me. Okay.
It could be, you know, maybe one day it'll be you. No. But, what I'm talking about, though, is you, the athlete, and your coach.
Okay.
That's where it comes down, where there has to be not even a good relationship there, but both you have to have a certain level of competency, and you have to kind of take the pride and the ego out of the situation. Because when I see injury is what I'm getting at here.
Yeah.
The bad is the injury,
okay,
right? And we see that happen a lot of different ways. Some of it freak accidents, yeah, which you can have in any sport, you can have in life. This light could fall on my head right now and I could die. But you'll always have that, especially when you're competing in, you know, high level sports, or you're just competing. Actually, I'd say it happens even more competing at low level sports, intramural leagues, weekend warriors, stuff like that. So that's kind of what you see with CrossFit. But the reason we have injury, which I don't really, I'll be honest, I'm in a CrossFit gym 6 days a week for the past, I don't know, 3 years. I don't see too much injury.
No.
And there's reason for that. And that's what I'm getting at is lifting with ego. So people who are too afraid to swallow their pride, too afraid to take some weight off the bar, even knowing damn well, hey, I can't fucking overhead squat for shit.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try it because everyone else is doing it.
I gotcha.
So we're going to put a bar over our head with weight that we can't support, so we're going to get into a sacrifice position and hurt ourselves.
Okay.
And then that comes around full circle onto the coach is, are you really going to let someone do that?
Yeah.
It's your responsibility to kind of be mother duck here.
Yeah.
And, you know, take those. I've physically taken weights off of people's bars in workouts before.
Cause really?
I'll go to them and say, this is too much weight. You can't handle this.
I think that would be an interesting premise of an episode of, like, how to spot a bad coach or a bad trainer. I think that'd be something, because
that's something I could talk for days on that.
I mean, think about it, right? Like, as I mean, we're kind of going off a tangent here, but as someone who comes into a situation like this, CrossFit being sort of a facilitated workout thing, there's I mean, you're giving them the keys. You take the wheel, dude. And I mean, if they steer you off a cliff with, like, letting you do that shit, then I mean, there's a certain amount of onus that I think should be taken on behalf of the coaches. That's a good point.
Yeah, because you can't put all the blame on the athlete, because they may not know better.
Yeah.
The coach, though, it's their job to know better, and it's their job to intervene when something could get out of hand or could go wrong. So it's a 50-50 kind of balance.
Would you give it 50-50, though?
You know, you're right.
I mean, I think of it like I mean, your toddler ate bleach.
Yes.
Or drank bleach. You're a shitty parent. Like, maybe more so with the infancy of oncoming CrossFit athletes or CrossFit participants, that maybe more of the onus should be given in the hands of the coach.
You're absolutely right. And that's, I think I misspoke a little bit there. I'm kind of generalizing. Talking about, because I see the same people day after day.
Definitely.
A lot of those people, they know what I'm going to tell them before I say it.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of generalizing into that. But yes, those people that are just getting into CrossFit, they, you know, I wouldn't even put more than 10% on them. It's, you know, 90, 95, 99% the coach.
Yeah.
The 1% that's always going to be their responsibility is to fucking listen.
Yeah.
Like, they need to know, I'm telling you this because I care about your health.
And
I
you want know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah, too, I know I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you to take 20 pounds off your bar because I think you're weak.
Yeah.
Or because I think that, you know, that soccer mom over there is stronger than you.
Yeah.
No, she knows what she's doing. You do not.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have you do this overhead squat with the PVC pipe until you can do it right, to the point where we can put weight in that position, so you can support that weight. Then you can beat
Mrs. Robinson on a snatch.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. So swallow your pride.
Sure.
Listen to your coach.
Yeah.
And coaches,
don't be a fucking donkey.
Don't be a donkey. Okay. Don't be afraid. And that's another thing too. Don't be afraid to speak up. It's okay to hurt people's feelings. They'll get over it. It's better than a fucking torn rotator cuff.
Shoulder.
Right? Yeah. They're going to be a lot more pissed if they tear the rotator cuff than if you tell them to take a couple pounds off the bar.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, a lot of responsibility on the coach. That's a huge part of it. Mm. A little bit of responsibility on the athlete themselves. Like, just be smart.
Yeah.
Like, I tell people all the time, listen to your body.
Yeah.
If your shoulders feel like they're snapping in half as you're putting something over your head,
maybe
don't do that shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's some of the bad in CrossFit, and it's just,
I mean, that's good. It's a good self-awareness to have within the community that you represent, because I think if you don't recognize that, there's no way they can change it, right? Like, if everyone turned a blind eye, like, no, it's cool, it's fine. Yeah, come pay like $180 a month for a box membership and we'll get coached by people that are going to, you know, punch your ticket to Snap City, then, you know, there's going to be an issue.
I'm going to just intervene here for a second. Can we name this episode
Snap City?
Punch Your Ticket to Snap City?
Boom. All right. It's going to the episode. It's going in the it's going to the show notes. Done deal.
All right,
that'll
cool.
be the that'll
All
be right. the air
Continue.
Quote.
I apologize.
No, so that, yeah, okay, that's good. So that was bad of CrossFit. So let's flip it back.
Yeah, let's talk about powerlifting.
I'm going to go a little bit different approach. And I'm new to this, so there's going to be people listening to me like, what does this guy know? Like, I mean, I did my first meet in June of last year. But being around the subculture for as long as I have, It's not going to go towards training styles or anything like that, although I think the same can be said to a certain extent. But such is true about any sort of form of exercise. There's a dose dependency thing where people think if some is good, more is better.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing with powerlifting can be social media. And it's like there's, you know, like depth police and threads and like it's very...
So the online coaching is what you're saying.
Not even online coaching. Like online trying to meet your future mother by telling her her bench arch is too much. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Like everyone's a fucking expert. And the thing is like mm-hmm. I'll see it in places where they're commenting on people who are experts. Like, oh, you know, you're going to talk to like one of the... You're going to make an asinine comment from your fucking toilet seat on Instagram to like one of the strongest lifters in the world. Be like, oh, you should probably like not like lift that way. It's like, dude, you're going to tell Michael Phelps how to swim? You know, yeah. LeBron James how to fucking drive through the paint? No, maybe you should like, until you're something, don't say nothing, right? Like, it's really frustrating and it's something you try and distance yourself from because social media has brought in a market to powerlifting.
Yeah, it's interesting because you named social media for the good and the bad.
Yeah,
it's like a double-edged sword.
It is. Almost. No, and honestly it is because, I mean, you know, we use it as avenues to get our information out there, but we try and be informative. But the information we're trying to bring is, you know, education and stuff like that. Not like, fuck you, like, you didn't hit depth in your squat. It's like, all right, bro, like, relax. So that can be, I mean, to me, that's the bad side of it. When, you know, stuff goes viral and rumors and all that. And I mean, it really only matters to the people who are kind of into the entire subculture. Like, no, like I go, oh my god, like so and so commented on this thing, and like the other guy was like mad because he like deadlifted more than him, and now they're gonna compete at this meet. And like Melissa will just look at me at home, like, what? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, it has no bearing on like real life. But yeah. I think when you're immersed in it to the level that I am, and I mean, like, just as you CrossFit gym, you know, 7 days a week, I'm the same thing with a powerlifting gym, so it's really inundated. But yeah, it's splitting the atom, right? Yeah. You do it one way, you can light up the world. You do it another way, you can blow shit up. So I think the self-destruction within the sport that can be perpetuated through social media when it is just a black eye. So yeah, that would be the bad of powerlifting. I think it's just that negative online presence.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is going to be an interesting one. I'm looking forward to this because this, I think, is something where you're going to not kick my ass, but the business side of CrossFit, okay. I mean, holy shit. They took something and from a brand standpoint, it's not a form of exercise that I care to emulate, but if we could run this podcast like CrossFit has run its business.
Oh man, we can get
holy shit. Yeah, so I mean, I think if you could speak on maybe for a second, like the business side of CrossFit from like a branding approach or even from like, you know, you're inside a CrossFit box, like sort of maybe how, you know, let's do it this way. How do your top guys make money? How do your like Rich Fronings and your, that's the only one I know. So fill in other elite superstar CrossFit athletes. How do they turn a buck being a CrossFit athlete?
They turn a buck being a CrossFit athlete by doing CrossFit really well.
Thanks very much. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, that's it. That's my insight. No. So as far as athletes go, there's not many opportunities within the actual brand of CrossFit to make money.
Yeah.
There's a couple, but any CrossFit-sponsored competition has... we're blowing up. It's from Ontario, Canada.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No, Ontario, California. It's in Ontario, California. C-A. Jordan's getting a phone call right now. Thinks he's coming from the homeland. I think he got the wrong Jordan.
C-A.
Yeah.
No, I feel like that could be confused
but
with
we're,
Canada.
But what country code is C-A-N?
Can.
C-A-N. Can. Yes, can. Yes, we can. Was that Obama's thing? Anyways, okay, we're back to it. We may or may not edit this out.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, yes.
Couple dudes at the top.
Yes,
that
so
could make some bank.
Back to what I was saying, the way to make money through CrossFit, the actual brand of CrossFit, are their sponsored competitions, which would be, most of them are online, and I believe They have some monetary prizes, nothing substantial, probably nothing more than, you know, 5 to 10 grand, and that's one or two throughout the year.
You win the games. How much coin you like?
Yes,
you...
that's what I was building to. Is the CrossFit Games is where these top athletes will make their money. The top podium spot, if you get first place at the games, they just, I believe, they just updated it this year to $280,000.
Hey,
so that's a good chunk of change. Dude, yeah, that one male and one female will get once a year. Outside of that, it goes down substantially. I think second's probably about 100,000 each. Okay. Third, maybe less, maybe 50, 80, yeah, something like that. And they have, and they'll have prizes about $1,000 or $2,000 for each event in the CrossFit Games, which is like, I don't know, maybe 12 to 15 events. So there's another, you know, 12 to 15 grand. Well, I guess up to 30 grand.
And equal men and women?
Yes, men and women are, well, that's a whole other, yes, men and women are equal.
Yes, yeah, I was out rallying, I was out there, yeah. I was making noise.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's a lot of money. If you think, you know, you have equal pay both sides, 280 a side, plus, you know, ancillary prizes down to like 10th place or 5th place or whatever.
For the select few, that is enough, is a lot of money.
But I'm saying the total, right? Like, that's $1 million. Right, probably getting dished out all told at the games.
Yeah, probably about that. Yeah. But you think about, you know, any other, these are at this point professional athletes.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they get that for wearing a Nike sweatband. Easily. Or, you know, wearing the right shoes.
And not even that, dude. Entry level contract. You can be playing AAA ball in some, like, you know, cousin loving town in the South, and you're making like $700K. Like, exactly. And for, you know, for what? Right?
Exactly. So, I mean, granted, the sport of CrossFit in general, is a very, very young thing.
Sure.
So, it was actually founded in 2000.
Was it?
Yes. Okay. So, that's actually, it's a little bit older than I thought it was.
Same.
CrossFit Games, the first Games, I believe, was 2007. Okay. I'm not 100% sure on that. So, they've been doing, and mind you, you can look at videos on YouTube. Panda Express was one of their sponsors.
Love it. You know,
Panda Express was one of their sponsors when they first started
out. But to be fair, if you had it your way, like, Chipotle would be a sponsor now.
Oh, so dude, I'd be okay with Panda Express, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, MSG for a pre-workout? I don't know if that's for me.
You just give me a voucher for a free meal, I'm in.
Yeah.
No, but still, even that, in 10 years, you have gone from, you know, a Panda Express coupon to over $250,000 in prizes. So if it were to continue to grow that way, 10 years from now, you may see people, you know, we'll call them fringe athletes making a living off of this sport.
Okay.
So it's not unreasonable to think.
So day to day, these guys are trainers, coaches, box owners, right? Like, they leverage their status as CrossFit you'd have to, I mean, just seeing the way you train, like, you have to be in it.
Yeah. Right. Most of the guys at the top, or, you know, even close to the top, they build their lives around the sport, whether it's owning an affiliate, coaching full time, or they do something kind of like you or I do. They have a profession that allows them to be in the gym, or, you know, they have the accessibility to a gym a certain amount throughout the day, because You just have to train a lot to be at that level.
So there's no one showing up like Happy Gilmore at the Waterbury Open. Like, he needs the check to save grandma's house kind of thing. Like, there's no one like, fuck, fourth place, can't pay the mortgage. Well, better luck next year, that kind of thing?
Pretty much. You're not going to see that too much.
Okay, all right.
So let's talk about powerlifting. Where is the money made in powerlifting?
So I think, and again, I'm not too familiar with how, like, the sponsorships in CrossFit work. I know, like, Reebok's a big contributor, and, like, that's now up for grabs.
Essentially, it's just like any other sport. You'll have, you know, what the league pays you. I guess that would be what you get from CrossFit, what you win. And then you have, you know, your sponsors outside of that where, you know, maybe you're on commission or you get this much.
Use promo code JuntaBurrito35 at checkout for 35% off your sriracha. Okay, so I think powerlifting is more in tune with like a bodybuilding fitness subculture. So I think supplements, I mean, aren't going to be the driving industry. Like, you're not going to have a supplement company frickin' pay your bills. But it supplement companies that have been around for a while will give you accessibility to a network, recognition and notoriety to leverage any sort of shingle you might hang from a business perspective. Granted, this is the top of the top, right? Like, you need to be like a record holder of some sort, top of a weight class. And then, you know, yeah, you got to be like a trainer. There are some guys, I mean, there's some dudes out there, like lawyers, like some trial lawyers. I know like Sam Bird was a lawyer. He was a world record squatter sponsored by Animal. But yeah, a lot of guys, you know, they're in the lifestyle. You have to be, right? Yeah. To pursue it at the level that they have. So yeah, gym owners, trainers. I mean, online coaching is really taking off, programming, stuff like that. Absolutely. Even more like to the educational side of things, guys are doing like ebooks and all that kind of thing. Seminars are really big. Trying to, you know, that live, learn and pass on mentality, which is good because I think it helps the sport quickly overturn good and bad information. Like, I think you have a more of a turnover rate and a perpetuation of things that are beneficial from the top down. Where people aren't trying to like hoard their secrets and let everyone else kind of fall the wayside. But yeah, so the money making there is you really sort of have to sell yourself at the end of the day, right? Granted, you have to have something to sell. You got to be good at lifting first and foremost, which I think is something universally true with any sort of sport that you're trying to monetize or make money. But the fact that it is so niche, There's a certain pseudo celebrity status that goes along with it. That, I mean, if you can leverage appropriately in your own business ventures is the way to go. So, I mean, it's no different. And I think a lot of these points actually are really no different between one to the other. It's just sort of a different.
A lot of overlap.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And we're not so different, you and I.
We're not.
Yeah.
It was two worlds, not so far apart.
That was like, that's Austin Powers, right? You're not so different, you and I. It's like you're basically you're Scotty, right? And I'm Dr. Evil. Is that pretty much how this works?
Do I have to be Scotty?
Yeah. All right. Well, come on. I'm not going to be Scotty. All right. But yeah. No. So I think that's a good. It's weird because I think the goal of this was to contrast the two, but I think we've ended up making them. There's a lot of gray. There's not much contrast. I mean, it's pretty much just.
It's kind of, you know, if you were to blackout CrossFit, blackout powerlifting, a lot of these principles are the same.
Yeah.
They kind of overlap. It's, you know, it's really just a sport of passion.
Yeah. And I mean,
both of them.
Without chasing any money, it has to be, right? Yeah. Like, how many times have you, and we were working out the other day and I saw it, and I was just doing whatever, some accessory work, but this guy was like, dude, 18 minutes on the clock. How many times during that workout did you think to yourself, why the fuck am I doing this, right?
See, that's the difference, though. I didn't think that once.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I'm sure when you're fucking doing a set of 8 deadlifts at, you know, 913%, you're fucking, you're in it, right? You're not thinking like...
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that's an interesting topic, too, about, like, the different types. Well, maybe not different types, but, like, just discipline in general.
Yeah.
I think it's something we might speak on in the future is, like, I mean, I've read this article years ago that discipline doesn't really exist. It's just sort of a balance of things you love to do, right? Like, you were box jumping and, like, thruster overhead pressing, and I was just, like, sitting there doing chin-ups with, like, 3-minute rest periods. But it's like, dude, if that's what you love to do, like, you and your mind's eye aren't disciplined. You're out here, you're living life, we're eating burritos at 9 in the fucking morning.
Yeah.
Right?
So I envy myself sometimes.
Yeah, like, just like, man.
Man, you're doing all right.
This guy's got it made, right? But like, and I think that's like an underlying truth with anything. And people starting to try to work out for the first time. It's like, oh, how are you? People like ask me, oh, how are you so disciplined? Dude, I fucking love it. Discipline is, I mean, you got a rest day today, right? You take a day off.
Yes.
How much discipline does that take?
That takes more.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll probably hop on a bike later and be like, I could maybe some light front squats.
Just like chain yourself to the fucking assault bike so you don't start throwing shit over your head. I mean, I think that's something worth speaking on in the future is like the illusion of discipline. It's just, you know, if you want abs but you love cake, until that point comes where you love the idea of abs more than you love cake, then you're not gonna have abs and you're gonna keep having cake, right?
It's so true, dude. It's all about what you want, what you're passionate about, and what you're willing to sacrifice to get it.
Okay, I think that's, you know, that's a good place to call it on this one. So a little compare and contrast, although, you know, really not that different when we come down to it, of CrossFit and powerlifting. So we'll sign off for today. Any closing points?
I want none of you listening to this to punch your ticket to Snap City.
Yes.
Be careful.
Don't be a president-elect to Snap City.
No. If you're the governor there, you probably should take a step back and look at your life.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, outside of that.
Good. We'll see you next time. Yeah. Stay out of Snap City.
Yeah, give us any feedback you guys have, any questions, comments. Yeah,
we got to pay the bills.
Yeah, give us money.
Subscribe, share. La Jalisco, the burrito shop. We're still waiting on that sponsorship.
Sponsorship would
El
be great.
Pastor, baby. El Pastor. Yeah. But that's it for today. 5-star ratings and all that. Share with your friends. If you guys have comments, questions, anything you want us to cover, let us know. Until then, we'll see you next time.
All right, we'll see you later, guys.